This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And Aaron Rodgers has still not decided. He is not a Giant. He is not a Steeler. He is not a Viking. He hasn't retired yet. He's not in the darkness. But he is not yet a New York Giant. Now, yesterday, 24 hours ago, Tiki was sick of this. How do you feel now?
I'm still sick of it.
Sick of it. Here's my message for you.
$45 million a year.
Hey, if you can get it, good for you. Here's my message to Aaron Rodgers.
TikTok, 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 TikTok.
TikTok, yes. Baby.
Get an account and please post where you're signing.
Yes. Let us know. My prediction was already wrong. Yesterday, late in the show, we all predicted when Aaron Rodgers would decide. I had Thursday, that's today, at 1:12 p.m. So I'm already about an hour and a half late.
Yep.
So my apologies. We'll get to Rodgers. We'll get to some baseball later on as well. And Bad Tiki will join the show coming up at 4:30. But Mikal Bridges did something special. He started a forest fire of a controversy. And then later that night, hit a game-winning shot.
Is it really that bad of a controversy?
Yeah, because it was the first time a player identified what fans have been screaming about for multiple years. Mm. And what that does, Teak, is it adds validity to the criticism. Because I think for a while, it's just...
Right, for the what the fans have been saying is now being backed up by a player.
By a player who plays more minutes than anybody else. 888-808-1019. Robbie is in East Brunswick. How are you, Robbie?
How you doing, my friends? Just give me a second here to make a couple of points. I don't know who said it, but I think somebody was 100% right. Mikal Bridges has been very uncomfortable in this Knick offense. I think the problem is, and I love Jalen Brunson, he's a great player, but he's the first option, the only option until he's double-teamed, then he passes it off. They need to get Mikal involved. They need to get Cat involved. They've got to be a three-headed monster. And the Knicks are not playing offense like this. It's all Jalen. And I think that's why Mikal is uncomfortable. He's not playing like he usually played for the Nets.
Well, but
he just looks awkward and gawky.
But maybe. It's funny because I don't think it was like that early in the season. I feel like as the season went on, it became more Jalen Brunson-centered. And I guess that's just because the urgency picks up, right? And he's the ball handler. He's the creator. So he ends up dictating what happens a lot more. But early in the year, I remember thinking, man, Jalen Brunson, he's not going to even average 20 points a game. And then it flipped.
Well, because I think that his point, while completely fair, and Tommy's point, completely fair, hey, late in games with Jalen not being on the floor, Mikal has to kind of become that alpha. That's all fair, right, and true. But what's been the biggest issue with Mikal Bridges in 2025? Hasn't been his offense.
It's his defense. Yeah, he's supposed to be this elite wing defender.
Right.
Him and OG, and neither one of them were that early.
So we're talking in a weird way about two completely different things. On one aspect, it's, hey, Bridges looks comfortable stepping up into that role with Jalen out, because I think our last caller is right that the final few minutes of games has really turned into the Jalen Brunson show. But while that's all fair, I want to get back to the real issue that Bridges has faced this year, which is he hasn't been the defender that you expected and you wanted. And that has nothing to do necessarily with feeling comfortable in the offense. So it's not to say those points aren't true. They're fine, and they're pretty accurate, right, in a lot of ways. But the biggest issue with Bridges has been his consistency on the defensive end, which has nothing to do with Jalen Brunson and being the alpha.
Yeah, but you see that in baseball sometimes. Maybe a shortstop is having a lot of issues and some errors, and it carries over to his offense at the plate.
So you think his defense has struggled because Jalen Brunson has taken a bigger load in the offense?
Just not maybe comfortable overall. He's overthinking things, and it's seeping into his defense.
All right.
It's a possibility.
I sure it is. I disagree, but sure. I mean, it's no way to prove it, so... Right. What can I tell you? Let's go to Matt on Long Island. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I absolutely love you guys. I just want to ask, we're all talking about the, you know, the great shot and the Josh Hart mistake, but have we not realized that there was a coaching error just before that Josh Hart mistake?
What was the coaching error, like, in your opinion?
Well, at that time, you have two timeouts left.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not calling timeout to advance the ball?
Well,
and then Josh Hart would know that he doesn't have to move because he's standing still at half court.
That's a good question. You're right, because they did have two timeouts left, and they didn't use one there. That's a good point. I guess maybe he was thinking, let me save one just in case. It was such a back-and-forth game. The game featured...
But there was only, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know this for a fact. I think it was like 9 seconds left.
There was 8 seconds. Something like that. There was 8 seconds left in the game. You're absolutely right.
That's a good call.
That's a fair point.
That's a good call, Matt.
It's a fair point. I'm trying to think of why Tibbs wouldn't use a timeout there, and that's probably a part of it. But Josh Hart turning the ball over is what led to it potentially being this epic, epic loss. When you think about the way the game went down, Henderson misses the layup, Knicks grab the rebound, and you're thinking, all right, ball is in their hands. They should win this game. And unfortunately, Josh Hart makes the mental mistake. Let's go to Chris in East Hanover. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Appreciate taking the call. Always fun to get in and talk to you guys. I want to talk about Mikal and Thibodeau. I'm not sure if you guys heard his comments, but one thing I want to go back to yesterday, which you guys had me dying with. Evan, listen, 14-year-old son, the conversation with him, I'm not worried about, because then I'll worry about the later years. But wherever Sean and Tommy went to school, I can tell you guys there is no way they started sex ed in elementary school or middle school.
Yeah, I find that.
Like a little bit of...
I find that crazy.
Stuff, I think, but
when they said was, I was like, "That is insane! I've never had that."
My wife is in education, and there is not after. There is no way they would even approach that. Not even middle school. You usually do that in high school.
But remember this:
mine was not in high school. I promise you, mine was not in high school because I can remember the building, and it's not my high school building. And I felt like I was so young. I remember the gym, like the gym was, it was right next to the gym, and we'd have dances, like it was middle school. I know it was middle school. And it was just the oddest thing. But again I'm 50 though.
Yeah.
It probably was eighth grade. It probably was probably eighth grade. You're right, Chris. But I'm 50. So
it was
a long time.
I'm 48.
Time
so same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
so
my,
sure
and by the way, my
heard.
Middle school, I didn't get into high school until 10th grade. So our high school was only 10, 11, 12.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Probably 9th grade then.
Right.
That makes sense.
8th or 9th. But I feel like it was middle school. It doesn't even feel like my junior high.
One of the guys, Sean or I said, elementary school, I was like, if they were teaching that in elementary school, we got some serious problems.
Right. Yeah, I doubt it was elementary, but I'm pretty sure I know I did it in middle school.
Yeah, so for me, it wasn't even middle school either. It was high school when they first started teaching us that stuff.
Yeah, me, it was high school.
Yep.
Yeah. But did you guys hear Tibbs' comments about Mikal, the reporter, last night?
Yeah, we started the show with it, with what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
What part is jumping out at you?
The part that he said, if Jason Tatum is on the court,
yes,
then the wings are... So there's no way that Jason Tatum is playing 38-30, unless I'm wrong, if you guys did the research, is playing that amount of minutes. Say every time the best player is on the court, my wing's got to be on the court. I get that. I coach basketball, like CYO, AAU.
Right.
I get that, but... I do understand. I'm a longtime Knicks fan. Thibodeau he came with this. Everybody knew this. He plays his guys. He doesn't rotate a big rotation. He plays his guys. And, you know, I think I understand Mikal's point, but, you know, you knew what you were getting into, one, coming to the Knicks and him being the coach, and two, you knew the offense was running through Jalen. Now, these guys have to step it up, but because he's going to be out. Well, right. You know, funny, the offense runs through Jalen. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
you, man. Jason Tatum is averaging 36 and a half minutes a game.
So he's relating to the fact that, and we didn't get into detail on this, we mentioned how Tom Thibodeau basically denied that Bridges ever came to him talking about minutes, and then Thibodeau went through a defense, like an intricate defense, of why they play big minutes. And what's funny is if you go back to the last Knicks-Celtics game, okay, they benched Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
So his argument about, well, when a guy like Tatum's on the floor, Bridges only played 27 minutes in that game. The Knicks, remember, were getting killed. They made that ferocious comeback, and Bridges spent a lot of the game on the bench. So if you really want to go, and I haven't done this, but now our last caller is bringing it to my mind of maybe we should do this. If you want to go through everything Thibodeau said to kind of get into detail, right, you see there's some BS attached to it, such as, well, he's got to match up with Jason Tatum. Meanwhile, in the last game against Boston, he only played 27 minutes. And also, most of your games aren't against Jason Tatum. Most of your games aren't against elite-level players. So it doesn't actually fit the excuse for why guys play big minutes, but it goes back to my original point.
But it sounds good. It sounds plausible. That's why you say it.
Well, he's also very defensive about this point, right, because this is the criticism he's faced since his days in Chicago. And now he's facing it not just from a media member, but from one of his own, an undercover minutes police agent named Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, and I think, look, he knows why he wants to do things internally in his own mind, that is, but I don't know if he's looked at it and questioned himself whether it still makes sense, right? When he first started in coaching, whenever how long ago that was, it probably made sense to do that. Your teams aren't that deep with enough star power. Guys can't defend, shoot, etc. well enough to deserve to be out there, so you just play the guys that are good.
Right.
But the game's evolved, right? The physicality's changed. The intensity has changed, obviously. And so
the pace has changed.
Exactly.
We leave that part out when we talk about yesteryear in basketball.
Evan, that might be the biggest one.
Yes.
That's a big part. The pace has changed, and now it's exhausting to do it all, and you open yourself up for injury.
When we talk about the comparisons to the past, which always drive me nuts because it's irrelevant, that is one thing that is incredibly different. You know, a lot was made of Mike D'Antoni's revolutionary offense, 7 seconds or less. Everyone in the league plays at a faster pace than that team.
Yeah.
Just to show you how the pace has changed in this league. Matt's in Staten Island. How are you, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
Good. What's up?
All right, so listen, I do want to go on back to that, you know, that whole topic we were talking about when you were taught stuff. I teach in the New York City Board of Education, and I teach fifth grade. And kids are exposed to a lot more mature stuff than you would think. So right. Any of these guys that are saying they didn't learn about anything until high school, I find completely shocking. Maybe if they went to private school.
But here's the thing. But Matt, here's the thing. Because two things can be true at the same time. I'm a 41-year-old man.
So Matt was basically saying it was elementary school.
Yes. But there's two different things. As a 41-year-old man, I'm just telling you, they didn't teach me a damn thing about sex until high school. Okay? But here's the other part that's true. He's 1,000% right. Because this whole topic came up because my eight-year-old wrote down on a sticky note something he needed to Google because he wanted to find out what it meant. And put it this way, it was two numbers right attached to each other.
Right, they look alike.
They look
alike. Turn them upside down and face one another.
Okay.
Or away from each other.
All right. I gotcha. So he's right that if you're asking me my humble opinion on when kids should be taught this in schools, it's probably a lot earlier than I ever knew because they're being exposed to it at a younger age. And I'd rather a teacher tell them than Jimbo on the bus.
It's a good point.
Because I don't know what Jimbo's saying on the bus, right, and I also don't know why I came up with the name Jimbo.
Because it sounds like a kid's name.
Does it?
Yeah.
Not really. Sure. When I was in fifth grade, we watched a video on STDs. I brought it up yesterday with Magic Johnson. It was similar. I was grew up in the 90s.
Well, maybe that was because of... I mean, that took over the world.
Oh, it was
world.
A huge story.
It took
poignant.
Over the world.
Yeah, I was
like,
in
not
fifth
just
grade.
The sports world, but like the world when Magic Johnson had AIDS.
And Evan, is it possible, you went to school on Long Island, that you saw the same video I did, but you were too focused on Bernard Gilkey at that point in life? And then in high school, you started seeing girls, and then you realized, oh, maybe I did hear about sex before that.
I have a feeling I would have remembered the sex education chat in the fifth or sixth grade.
He wants to see my penis.
And I did, by the way. You may have seen there is a picture that's emerged of Aaron Rodgers by himself on the beach with a blanket around him with earphones in his ears. And my first reaction is this a new picture or is this an old picture? I mean, this could be Aaron Rodgers from 2 years ago. Who the hell knows? And then I realized as I was analyzing it, all my friends who were Giant fans, they are fully in that vortex. They are in the Aaron Rodgers vortex of analyzing everything, of overthinking everything, of defending everything. And I'm very proud to say this as someone that has broken up with Aaron Rodgers. I want to call it like it is, and I want to be fair. And I'm going to tell you something that I would have said a year ago, that I would have said 2 years ago, because I haven't changed. You have changed. And that is, Aaron Rodgers has every right to take a sweet-ass time.
Of course he
does. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to be on the beach with headphones and a blanket around him, because that's his serenity, that's his place of thinking and thought, then so be it.
I want to feel what pure love feels like.
I agree, Aaron. We all want to feel that. And I think that guys like Adam Schefter, because Adam Schefter was upset that Aaron's taking so long. Like, make up your mind. I don't understand. Dude, it's a guy's life decision. He could take as much time as he wants. But you guys, the Giants, you, Tiki, as a Giant legend and fan, have every right to say I'm done.
I'm not forcing him to make this decision. I'm just saying, if I'm the Giants, I'm not putting all my eggs in his basket.
And you shouldn't.
Of course not. You can't. Because he very well could just spurn you.
I think the only way you would put the eggs in the basket, and this is up to you, is if you look at Rodgers as so far and away the best option that you're willing to wait, potentially lose out on other backup options
because
you so want to give it a try with Aaron Rodgers. And if that's the case, then have some patience and it'll happen. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Now, this has got to be Southern California, correct?
Where Aaron is?
Yes. I think, right?
I can't tell beaches very well.
Is that chilly? It's kind of rocky.
Well, the chilly thing would give, like, that doesn't give me any information because it gets chilly everywhere. It could be at night, could be at sundown, could be in the morning. Like, that I wouldn't give it away. You'd have to look, like you said, at the rocks, at the beach to kind of get a better idea. But this may surprise you, Teak. Not a beach expert. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you.
Oh, yeah, the skin thing?
Yes. So, I don't know. All I know is you're in the vortex. Welcome. And it's a fun place. And I want to warn you about something. This isn't the last time you'll be in the vortex. If Aaron comes out tomorrow or later today and says, I'm picking the New York Giants, there will be other vortexes over the next month. Connor knows what I'm talking about. He's a Jet fan. How many more vortexes will they face in the next year if Rodgers signs on to be a Giant?
Year.
I actually disagree. I think a lot of the stuff with Rodgers is a media creation, and I think that, for the most part, the guys on the team like him. It's more of the stuff outside. Like, when he goes on McAfee, he gets a lot of hate. But when he was on the Jets itself, I don't really think he created lot of controversy.
But I'm not blaming him for it, but there were things that followed him. Whether it's a media creation or a fan creation, there was a vortex of things. Whether it's the vice presidential stuff, whether it's what he said with McAfee, whether it's...
Yeah, but that was a timing thing.
What do you mean?
He happens to know JFK, JFK Jr. He knows
RFK.
RFK Jr. He happens to like talking politics. That's not going to happen.
Are you excusing this now?
I'm just saying it's not going to happen this year.
I didn't say
the midterm elections. He could be a candidate.
Come on.
No, it's not that it's going to be RFK Jr. again. It's
he going to run against Mikey Sherrill for governor of New Jersey?
I mean, he could. It's not about
four more years.
It's not about the same.
Mikey's going to beat his ass.
I'm sure he will. It's not about the same controversy as that other, or she will. It's about other things that will happen that you don't see coming. That's just the reality.
Right.
And you're right, Connor. Like, it to me, a lot of the controversies around Rodgers weren't even real, but they were still things. They weren't necessarily annoying me.
Yeah, they were just talking points.
And that will continue. And the question is, are you okay dealing with it?
The question is that bad?
That's up to you.
Is it bad?
Do you want to deal with it?
I think most of that stuff that you're alluding to had nothing to do with football. And so most of the guys in the locker room that get asked about it, they're like, I don't give a you know what.
I agree.
Like, why do you even, what are you bringing that to me for? I don't care.
I understand.
Hey, do you care that RFK Jr. is going to tag your quarterback to be their vice presidential candidate? What?
But you
that's what most of the players in the Jets locker room said.
No, I know like, that. And I,
what? Why and, do I care?
And I said the exact same thing last year,
yes.
But it was still a thing.
Yes,
like,
of
I'm
course.
Not arguing that but it unless, impacted the locker room. In fact, I was on the side that
okay,
it won't.
So if it
and
does,
I'm still on that side. I'm questioning you guys and if you're okay with
if
that
If it
stuff.
Doesn't impact the locker room, then I don't care.
That's what I said.
Then I don't care.
Okay.
I'm with you then.
All right. I'm just curious if all of a sudden this is changing your view. Because when Aaron Rodgers is a Jet, different things were said. Remember, Tommy?
I sure do.
He was a wolf in a hen house. Remember that one?
I sure do.
Do now, you think he would be a wolf in a hen house with the Giants?
No. Because he's now, even though they've been like the Jets,
now.
He's joining a organization that has structure. I will say
do
this.
They? Their GM's on the hot seat. Well, their coach is on the hot seat. And I forgot how many games they won last year. Can you remind me?
Yeah, but
the
head coach still sits in the hen house with a shotgun.
That's a good one. While the head coach of the Jets was like waiting for the shotgun at him, basically.
I would say that as a Giant fan, I've taken on the Zen-like approach of Aaron Rodgers, where I am just sitting here patiently. I'm not trying to overanalyze, overthink that, because I do think the Giants are in a position of power here. They still have the number 3 overall pick. Aaron Rodgers is going to make his decision based on Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing I can do as a fan to sway him to the Giants. So I'm just going to kick my feet up, be very zen, and then wait for his decision. And then the Giants are going to get their quarterback. I'm just being level-headed with this because I know Aaron Rodgers is a pig. I know he's an egomaniac. I know he's a narcissist. I know he's a weirdo.
But you're good with it.
Yeah, because he is what he is.
I agree. By the way, that's the healthiest
I'm not trying to make him any different than what he actually is.
Here's the other thing that we haven't even considered. Did he visit the Steelers? Did he visit the Giants? I know he hasn't visited the Giants.
We don't know. Do you know he hasn't visited the Giants?
We would know.
Well, hold on. How would we know? Rodgers has really taken a lot of pride in people don't know anything about him and things are made up. So unless you think the Giants or the Steelers would leak it out.
Somebody would have said, hey, Aaron Rodgers was in the building. Right?
Are the Giants comfortable then? Because it's a great point. Signing him without meeting with
or
him?
Is he, I'm saying this more from Aaron Rodgers' perspective.
Right.
Is he comfortable signing with the Giants without meeting any of the principals? Now, I think he knows Dave's a little bit, but I don't know if he knows Shane. I don't know if he knows the quarterback coach. I don't know if he knows the wide receiver. I don't know if he knows anybody over there, John Mara, etc. I have no idea.
Mm.
So I know Russell Wilson does because he came and visited
and he's going to visit again later tonight, tomorrow morning.
So why are we not even... Hell, the more I think about this, there's no way. Is he on a beach right now, chilling, reflecting in a warm, fuzzy blanket with ear pods in his ears? He's not making this decision anytime soon.
Well, but hold on. Let me ask you this, because it's a good question about Rodgers. I want to go back to the Giant angle. Or should the Giants be comfortable signing him without meeting with him?
If they don't know him, the answer is no.
Well, it sounds like they haven't met him then, unless they did it in the cloak of the night.
Right, this is why this isn't happening anytime soon.
That's the conclusion?
Anytime soon.
So you don't think the Rodgers decision is coming anytime soon?
Yes, that's what I'm alluding to.
Because he hasn't met with these teams.
How can you make a decision about a guy who's going to be the biggest talking point in your locker room without having had him meet you?
I completely agree. When you bring up that question, I say about Rodgers, I don't really care. If Rodgers doesn't need to meet with the team, that's not something I care that much about.
I would have a problem if I was the Giants signing a guy without meeting with him.
Well, that's where I care. I would care if I'm the Giants, because the way I laid this out initially when we brought up Rodgers months ago coming to the Giants was you have to look into his eyes. And you've got to get a trust from him, and he's got to know that this situation is going to be different than the Jet situation. I don't know if you can do that over the phone or in a Zoom. So I'm kind of with you that forget Rodgers' perspective. He's weird, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I accept this weirdness. If I'm the Giants, I would have wanted to have met him and talked to him, and maybe it happened in the cloak of the night.
Now, I'm forgetting. The Stafford news was Monday? Monday?
No, Stafford news broke on a Friday.
So whatever. So it was a Friday ago.
It was when Evan was out. It was a couple weeks ago.
So two weeks ago.
Yes.
So the question is in that interim, because I know prior to that point, Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the conversation with the Giants. It was Stafford.
Right.
Stafford, and let's evaluate all of these young quarterbacks, or these couple of young quarterbacks. Maybe we're moving to the top of the draft. So in the last 2 weeks, essentially, has Aaron Rodgers snuck his way in?
I think it's possible.
Possible.
I think
I feel like we would know that.
I think Rodgers has taken a lot of pride in not leaking stuff out.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's leaking it out. And so then it would come down to the Giants. Do the Giants have guys or gals that would talk and go to reporters and say, we met with Aaron today?
Well, I mean, we know that Russell Wilson's going there.
But that is true. And where did that come from? Did that come from Russell's camp, or did that come from the Giants and the Browns camp? I'm going to speculate openly it's from Russell Wilson, and you want to know why?
Yeah.
Because it came out, he's meeting with the Browns, right. And he's meeting with the Giants.
Right, this is his schedule so, over the next 3 days.
I think that's the difference between let's ride Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
But remember, with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't meet with you. You meet with him. You got to go to the island of Dr. Moreau to see this guy. God knows where he is. It's not like he's going to come to the facility and hang out. You have to go to where he is on his time, hang out, you know, smoke the hookah. Like,
well, have the Giants done that?
That's a fair point.
We would know because
the Jets did that last year.
And we found out about it. So I think if the Giants had flown out to California or wherever, we would know about it.
Well, first of all, hold on. Here's what I would disagree about. The Jets did it because they weren't in a position of power. As we all know, they were desperate.
Mm-hmm.
You just said it. We've all said it. This is different. The Giants are in the position of power. So if they're in the position of the power, why the hell do they have to fly to him?
They don't necessarily.
So then I disagree with that point. You tell Aaron you want to meet, you come here. Or if you want to sign here, we need to talk to you. Again, the only way this works is if the dynamic is different.
Right.
It can't be the way it was with the Jets.
Right.
And so one of those examples is, we're not flying to you.
Dude, it's funny.
You come to us.
Right. The more we talk about this and like actually talk about it as opposed to talking about the how great it would be and give them the best chance to win nonsense that we've talked about for a week and a half. The more I think through this and we talk through this, like the logistics of it, I don't think this is happening.
No, I really don't.
I think this is a media talking point right now.
Interesting.
I really do.
Well, you know what I think it is? The more this goes on, the more Aaron Rodgers is looking for something else besides what's out there.
Yes.
So the logical answer is the Vikings or the Titans or another team.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could go back to what I've said for a while, which is maybe he's thinking about retiring.
Yeah.
Like being on that beach.
Yeah.
That conversation in his head may not be Brian Daboll versus Mike Tomlin. It may be smoking
100 different hands on my body.
That! And that could happen when you're retired.
So he's mulling retirement, and if he figures out, hey, I want to play again, then in theory, teams would meet with him. So it's going to be a drawn-out process.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
April.
I said Friday post-closing of business, like tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm Sean actually thinking Sunday. It's more like Friday 3 weeks from now.
Right. Let's go to Tad in Connecticut. What's up, Tad?
I read he's in Australia.
Australia, that would explain.
That's why you can't recognize the beach.
Exactly.
That's funny.
I agree with you. I think, Evan, the longer this goes out, and Pat McAfee, who like acts with him and is close with him, said he might seriously be considering retiring. And if you're considering retiring, that's not an overnight thing. So
right.
Obviously he's soul searching right now.
And
I think it's a very good possibility.
And that brings us back to where the Jets were involved a few years ago, where at first you're waiting for the decision on if you want to play or not. And Lugie's laid it out. I respect it because I would do the same thing he's doing, which is I'm just going to be patient. I'll wait. He's clearly my best option. I don't love Russell Wilson. I don't love the other quarterback options. I'm still drafting a quarterback, so it's not changing. So if it takes until mid-April, I'll wait till mid-April. Now, the negative to that is how you feel about the veterans that are left if you don't end up with Aaron Rodgers, because we're already seeing some veterans come off the books, like Jacoby Brissett, like Mac Jones. So there are guys that are disappearing where you may get to April, and I hate to bring this name up, but I'm going to be honest with you, where the only guy left is Drew Locke.
No, thank you.
All right, so then you're not willing to wait.
I'm just looking at these Australian beaches, by the way.
I'm sure you are, T.
This is doesn't look rocky like that.
So you're saying it's not an Australian beach?
Maybe this one. This one has some rocks that look kind of like those ones in that picture, but that's a cove, so it's just not so sure. Australian beaches are nice and white and plush and beautiful, gorgeous. I wish I was a
keep
Australian.
Going. Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Detective Tiki is on the case. Let's go to Joe in Cranford. How are you, Joe?
You're the only one that's in the vortex.
Oh, that's what you think. That's what you think,
Joe.
Yeah, that's what you
think. You're still stuck in it. You're still stuck in the vortex.
You're
Roger's vortex.
You're in the vortex, and you don't even know it, Joe. You don't even know it.
If we get him, we get him. If we don't, we don't. It's not going to be a great year either way. It's going to be a holdover year.
By the way,
I'm more interested in the draft
No, I got
and
you.
And whether Rodgers comes or not, I'm not going to hold my breath. You're stuck in the vortex, and you desperately want every Giants fan to be in the vortex.
Come join me.
Joe may not be in the vortex. I don't want to accuse you of it, but many Giant fans are, even if they claim they're not. But we do have a little piece of news concerning the Giant quarterback situation.
Let's hear it.
Russell Wilson's meeting with the Cleveland Browns has ended, and he has not signed a contract.
So that means he's got
unlimited.
He's spending an unlimited amount of time not there.
Right? He is leaving the facilities, and he is now on his way to New York City, or really New Jersey, where he will meet with the New York Giants. So if the thought was, whether you're anti-Russell Wilson or not, hey, he's in Cleveland, what's going to happen? Well, he left. He had a meeting, he collected the information, and now he's on his way to meet with the New York Giants. Here's the question you got to ask yourself. It's a tricky one. You meet Russ tomorrow. I think we agree, even you, that Russell Wilson is the second best veteran option after Aaron Rodgers.
It's spicy.
In a vacuum, yes.
Okay.
But in reality,
Will you allow Russell Wilson to leave the facility Friday? Like, let's say Russ says, look, guys,
yes.
I want to play here.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you guys don't sign me today.
Giants can't be desperate.
So you would say, sorry, Russ, we'll call you.
Yeah, you can't be desperate.
Okay. How about you, Tommy? Would you let Russ leave?
I would let him leave in a heartbeat. 100%. Russell Wilson is done. Number one, he got Nate Hackett fired. The Steelers fired him. And to me, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's everybody else. You could argue Russell Wilson's the next best option. You could argue Jameis Winston's the next best option. You could argue Gardner Minshew's.
Could you really?
I think that's where Russell Wilson's at in his career.
You think Russ has fallen to the level of Jameis Winston and Gardner Minshew?
Yes.
Do you agree with that take?
That's a
big fall.
He wasn't great last year. I know they won a lot of games. I said this yesterday. He just wasn't great.
What about Jameis Winston?
There were moments where Jameis Winston was unbelievable.
So would you take Jameis Winston over Russell Wilson?
If you believe you can correct the turnover
Bingo.
Issue, Jameis Winston's your guy.
Yep.
But
so do you?
It's a big if that some of the best coaches have failed at doing.
Mm. I'm down on Russell Wilson too, but I don't think I'm as down as saying that Winston, who I'm intrigued by on a different level, that Russell Wilson has fallen below Jameis Winston. And I don't think the Giants agree with you guys either, because the Giants are meeting with Russell Wilson, not even meeting with Jameis Winston yet.
Yeah, it's just different. Like the throws over the middle of the field, it's not happening, right? The timing, throws not happening. Downfield shots, there's big plays. That's going to occur here or there. There's no the run game, all QB run game, that's not happening. Right, you just miss a little bit when you have Russell Wilson as opposed to some of these other options.
There's going
to
be some
Let's
like.
Hear it. Just tell me.
Tiki has a look of disgust on his face.
Right.
Just you're tell me. Up.
You already know I'm going to be disgusted.
I don't know if you're going to be disgusted. It was just like I'm being legit when I say things felt familiar between 2 years and the last 2 years.
Okay.
And I just wanted to express it.
Let's hear it.
So in 2018, most people thought the New York Giants should draft a quarterback.
Right.
Because they looked at the age of Eli.
Yep.
They looked at where they were picking. They looked at the draft class, which was considered a loaded quarterback class. We didn't know how guys would end up. And
right.
Some were great, some stunk, obviously. And so when the Giants were picking two in 2018, most people disagreed with the Giants and said, go get a quarterback. They didn't. But instead, they drafted a great, talented player in Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
The following
potentially
year.
Potentially great.
And he's had a very good career. We all know the deal with him.
Right.
The following year, it was like, all right, guys, you're clearly going to take a quarterback now. And they did. And the argument at the time was, boy, they really stretched for a player in Daniel Jones. And now the jury has ended on Daniel Jones. It didn't really work. He had some good moments. It didn't work. Okay. It felt like 24 and now 25 is the same thing. So in 2024, in a draft that was considered to be decent at the quarterback position, most Giant fans were saying, you got to get a quarterback. Go get a quarterback. The Giants don't. They end up picking an incredibly talented player.
Right.
Much like Saquon Barkley in Malik Nabers. And now in 2025, We all know they're taking a quarterback, and you've even said, not the greatest quarterback draft.
Hmm.
But because of the decision they made last year,
right,
they're in a spot where they have to take a quarterback this year. So in my opinion, the build to the drafts of 18 and 19 are very similar to the builds of 24, 25. Thank you, sir.
You're going to be surprised. You're right.
Oh,
you nailed it.
Wow.
And it's different only because in 2018, the Giants had the belief, or Dave Gettleman had the belief, we can salvage our quarterback situation. Or not salvage it, because that's wrong. Eli had a fantastic career.
But we could get more out of him.
We can get one more or two more years out of him.
Yes.
Let's just give him a great running back, a guy who I think is going to be wearing a gold jacket, and this explosive player is going to revolutionize our offense and make Eli sustainable for another couple of years. It was just a bad assumption. Now, I think the difference is that last year in 2024, the Giants just need playmakers. Right, they were at the stage where Daniel Jones was under contract. He had a really good 2022. I'm not saying it was all pro, but it was really good, and it was winning football. And they hoped that they could recapture it. And I'll go back to this, and I'll say it every time we talk about Daniel Jones. They should have just let him go into free agency after 2022. And whatever happens, happens. Right, if you're able to re-sign him, fantastic. But don't bid against yourself and overpay the dude and lock yourself in, especially if the market's not telling you that. He's the kind of quarterback that deserved to get tested by the market, right? And the Giants, unfortunately, you know, bid against themselves and signed him to a $160 million deal. Now, with Daniel Jones on your contract, you just got to get talented players. So that's the difference, is that you were locked into your quarterback in 2024. You weren't necessarily locked into your quarterback in 2018.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eli.
It was a different situation in terms of how you viewed the current quarterback, but the decision-making turned out to be the same and unfortunately puts them in a spot here in this draft where, let's just be honest, they're drafting a quarterback.
Right.
But whether they do it in the first round or the second round, it's happened.
Well, I think the difference is you don't, if you're going to learn a lesson from history, it is don't draft them just because you, don't draft them high in the first round just because you need one.
1,000%. And that's what I've liked the more I've thought about the Jets spot that they're in over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So one of the options was to keep Aaron Rodgers. And I think it's clear, not going to belabor this, the short-term chances of the Jets would have been better if Aaron Rodgers is here. I am not arguing that
There's
at all.
There's no doubt about it.
No question. But if they had kept Aaron Rodgers, they were going to be in that spot that I just described where they have to take a quarterback. Unless they really believe in Jordan Travis, which I doubt.
Yeah.
I think they were going to be positioned to where, boy, they got to take a quarterback, whether it's at seven or it's a, they got to take a quarterback. Now that they signed someone who's still young, who's this lottery ticket, the Jets could take a quarterback, but they don't have to take a quarterback. And like you just described, that's the best spot to be in. When you take someone because you really, really like them, not because you really, really need to take someone at that position.
Right. You don't need, you shouldn't be desperate enough at any position to have to draft the guy.
Because that leads to a bad decision.
It leads to a bad decision. And so you need to take the best available guy that's there for you.
100%. 888-808-1019. I'm so proud of myself. You like that comparison.
I did, because it's the right one.
Thank you.
Now the challenge is, do the Giants make the same mistake?
That's the key question. And when we look back at Malik Nabers, are we looking back at him the way we're looking at Saquon, saying, great talent, just didn't fit their timetable and it didn't work out? Or are we going to say, you know what, we got ourselves this all-world receiver.
Yeah,
he was a part of our turnaround.
I think wide receivers are a little bit different, because even without great quarterback play, they can be elite.
No, you're right. I think Garrett Wilson's a great example of that on the other side.
Perfect example.
We all feel pretty good about him. Meanwhile, he's played with a cavalcade of crap.
Right.
Let's go to Benny in Middle Village, Queens. What's up, Benny?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thank you.
I have something just to throw out there. You're going to think I'm out of my mind, probably, but maybe I am a little out of my mind. Well, you know, you're talking about all these quarterbacks that are available. Who's really available? Russell Wilson? I think he's done. Aaron Rodgers, he's a head case. I don't want him on my team. I think he's a cancer in the locker room. Did they ever entertain about maybe giving Daniel Jones a contract?
I already did that.
It's serious.
All right. First of all, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a cancer in a locker room. I think it's ridiculous. He's not.
He's a distraction outside of the locker room.
Yes.
But he's not he's as good a locker room guy as I think there is.
I think that there are certain players where it just needs to be in a different spot.
Right.
So for Justin Fields 2 years ago, and obviously they had the number one overall pick, which played a role in it, Fields needed that new opportunity elsewhere.
Right.
In the case of Daniel Jones, because I've even said for the Jets, I was interested in him. Because new situation, new coaching staff, new expectations. Daniel Jones is done here. He's done here because he'll always have the expectations of the old contract and where he was selected. And it's the same coaching staff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. It makes no sense. I can't even entertain it.
You know what made more sense? I can't believe I'm saying this. But I did. It went through my mind very briefly. If you're the Jets and you were like, it's, you know, lottery ticket, quarterback, young. Would Darren Mugi, who got to watch this guy for a year, say, hey, let's take a flyer on Zach Wilson?
Oh, no chance.
Now, Woody Johnson.
Darren Mugi.
Woody Johnson, Jet fans, Jet media would say, well, Darren, get out of here. But for Mugi and Glenn, it would be, what's the problem?
Right.
But like, it's new to us.
The only thing is, he didn't do anything in 2024. To show you that he was any different than he was in 2023.
Unless Darren Mugi saw something while watching him practice, because remember, he was in Denver, as was Mugi. I'm not suggesting it, but I'm pointing out that would even make more sense, because at least it's a different administration that would be saying, hey, we see something in him.
He wasn't even the backup. He was like the third-string quarterback.
Look, I think Zach Wilson sucks. You don't have to convince me. I'm just merely saying that would make more sense.
That was a bad hypothetical.
You don't like that one?
No, there's no reality to that.
I should have stuck with my first one, the draft comparisons. Let's go to Jeff in Red Bank. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great to talk to you again.
What's up?
What's up?
So, real quick, I want to offer Tiki a pre-congratulations on Liverpool taking the league. good for you. Love to see the Reds lift the trophy.
Yeah, it sucked in the Champions League, though. Darwin Nunez.
Can't get them all.
He can't make a penalty kick. I won't go down that rabbit hole. But thank you. I appreciate it.
No, never. I'm Rodgers. You know, of everybody available, like, if you look at everybody's most recent body of work, like, you can't really tell me that there's somebody whose recent body of work, maybe outside of Jameis, that's more appealing. And, like, by bringing him in, does he not make all the other quarterbacks, maybe even the whole offense, you know, better by attrition, better yeah. by intel and sharing a room? And
I got to tell you, Jeff,
whoever you're bringing in.
Right, Jeff, you're making a simple point, but I think it's an important one. If you look at Aaron Rodgers' non-injured seasons over the last 5 years, they've all been pretty damn good. Even last year, which wasn't stellar, especially because it was fits and starts, but I would chalk that up to a half-injured season. But if you look at the end of last season, you look at the two previous years in Green Bay, he's still a good quarterback. The question is, at 41, I don't know how much time and effort he's putting into making himself elite. And right. I mean physically, working out. I remember when I was playing, about this time, I'm back in the gym.
Right.
I'm already grinding again.
Right.
March hit, give me a month off because Super Bowl happens. You take February off, March, let's go. Right? I don't know if he's doing that. Right? I don't know if he's going through the process of getting his mind around whatever offense he's going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that constant self-improvement that great players have to continually do in order to stay great. I don't know if he's doing that.
The one thing that's said about Rodgers, and it's more of a throwaway line, and it kind of bothers me, I do want to address as someone who watched it,
right.
was, hey, he was really good in the second half of the year. He did play better in the second half of right. the year, but I'd like to look at the last 3 weeks of the season. That game against Buffalo, where they got annihilated,
mm-hmm.
he did nothing in that game.
Yeah,
it was Tyrod Taylor who actually scored the two meaningless touchdowns or the one meaningless touchdown at the end. But that's not the one that bothers me more. The one that bothers me more is the game against the Rams, in which they scored 9 freaking points.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the opening drive where he marched down the field and everything looked great.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, this guy's got to be back next year. This is great. But basically, in 2 of the last 3 weeks, against the Rams and then Buffalo, he wasn't good, and the offense wasn't good.
Right.
Now, he played very well in the Miami game. He played very well before that in the Jacksonville game. So, again, yes, overall his second half was better, but it's almost like people want to delete or ignore the Ram game and the Buffalo game, in which that offense, led by him, did nothing.
Yeah. No, it's
so,
fair. It's fair.
I just want there to be a fair discussion about what he did in the second half of the year. Let's go to Ira in Riverdale. How are you, Ira?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man. What's up?
I was calling about Tibbs, but I want to talk about Rodgers.
Whatever you want, man. It's totally up to you.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Let me get this in.
Go.
Rodgers is a snake and oil salesman of quarterbacks. He basically wants you to think that he's wanted by everybody, but he's not that good anymore. And he wants you to want him. And he's going to cause whoever he goes to be fired. You know, so that's what's going to happen. He's going to be Gable or Tomlin's last year in Pittsburgh. He's not that anymore. He's not who he was. And the problem is that how do I explain it? It's all bells and whistles with him. He's not doing anything. The wins, who did he beat this year? He beat New England. He beat
Jacksonville. The Texans game is the one. Like,
right.
If you're doing like a college football, let's rate the victory one. You know, beating the Texans on Halloween was the game that gave us hope. Look, the Jets had a terrible year. I'm not putting all of it on Aaron Rodgers.
You can't.
Some of it's on Aaron Rodgers, yeah. But not all of it.
You can't. You fired a head coach. It just created this atmosphere where everybody felt like you're walking on eggshells. Because if they fire the head coach after 5 weeks, what the hell's happened to the rest of us?
And also, here's the other thing about he'll get a head coach fired. I want to be fair about this. You know who got Robert Saleh fired besides Woody having a quick trigger finger? Robert Saleh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He wasn't a very good head coach.
Right.
And we all knew that. So to say Aaron Rodgers got him fired, look, they didn't win enough, But Robert Saleh was putting questions in our minds on what kind of head coach he was before Aaron Rodgers got there. That's number one. Number two, let's get to Brian Daboll.
And it was his fourth year.
It was his fourth. Exactly. Let's get to Daboll. If Aaron Rodgers comes here and the Giants don't win games and Brian Daboll gets fired, again, Brian Daboll got Brian Daboll fired.
He probably
we're
going to
put that. Exactly. We argued this so past offseason.
Right.
So to put that on Rodgers wouldn't be fair. That's number two. Now let's get to Tomlin, who I think is the best, or one of the best. If he goes to Pittsburgh and they underachieve to the point where they're not even in the playoffs, then I would actually argue the same thing that Mike Tomlin got Mike Tomlin fired.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's lazy and unfair to put the firings of these head coaches on Aaron Rodgers. It's because I don't think it's consistent, and it's not what happened here.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh got Robert Saleh fired.
That's right. It's funny. Now that I think about offensive systems that these teams want to run, like Arthur Smith and Pittsburgh and what Dave's wants to run and with the Giants, what at least what I think he wants to run with the Giants, the best spot is Minnesota.
Well, is that what he's waiting on, Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe. He's waiting for an offer. Because, look, I'm assuming there's an offer from the Giants. I don't know if we've heard that yet. I know that there's an offer from the Steelers because we just saw that. At least someone on TV reported
it. It's reported that the Steelers have made an offer, and it's been reported that the Giants, take this how you want from Ian Rappaport, the Giants have made it clear to Rodgers that they want him to be their starting quarterback.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they've offered him, I assume that means they offered him a contract, but we don't know the details on what that contract would look like.
Right. So we don't know if Minnesota has made an offer to him
yet.
Right.
Minnesota!
But that could be the one offensively that makes the most sense for him because of what they do.
The longer this goes on, there are three possibilities. You guys take your pick on these. It's multiple choice, right? Possibility number one is what you said, what Lugie predicted when we did this initially, Minnesota. He's waiting for Minnesota. That clip makes me laugh every time.
So good.
Minnesota! He's waiting for Minnesota!
Minnesota!
Option number one. Option number two, he's genuinely thinking about retiring.
Yep.
Which is what I've suggested from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And option number three.
If he's in Australia on a beach, nuzzled up with whatever, then he might be thinking retirement.
I think it's on the table.
No doubt.
That's option number two. Option number three, and you guys have said this to me before, now I'm repeating it back to you, he's a whore for attention. And this is just a game for him. So I think those are the three options. Where would you guys vote?
I probably more with you.
Which one?
Number two.
The retire?
Retire.
All right, Tiki's saying retire. Tommy, which of the three do you go with?
I think it's Minnesota, and I think they're waiting for Aaron Rodgers because I look at their offseason. They've been spending a ton of money.
Mm.
I think they want Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers wants them,
yeah.
Although I still think he would go to the Giants, but I think it's that he's waiting for Minnesota.
All right, so you think it's retirement. Tommy thinks it's Minnesota. Connor, what do you think of the three choices?
I think he won't retire because there's no way he's going to let this Jets disaster be his final year. Mm. I think he goes to Pittsburgh. They have a stable foundation. I don't think he'll go to Minnesota because I really believe it's because Brett Favre went there, and I think he doesn't want to get trolled for doing the exact same thing as Brett Favre.
That would bother me. Now, there's one other voice we haven't heard from yet on the multiple choice question of why Aaron Rodgers is doing that. And I know it's 3:52 on this beautiful Thursday, and he's been waiting, saying, how come I haven't been called upon? We were just waiting for the right opportunity. So, Fake Sean, three options. He's a whore for attention, he's waiting for the Vikings, or he's thinking about retirement. Go
he's
ahead.
He's an absolute whore! He's a whore waiting for attention! Now, Lee, Evan thinks Giant fans are in the vortex of Aaron Rodgers. Let me throw it back at you. Evan, this narrative that Aaron Rodgers was bad last year, Aaron Rodgers was in the Jets vortex. Remember, this is a franchise that's going to build a statue for one of their best quarterbacks, Mark Sanchez. You're a joke of a franchise!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.